Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and our study is on Lord, I Want to Know You, and it's about the names of God. And we are now on the 9th chapter of the book of the study, and today we're going to be studying another name of God. It is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. So let us begin our study today in prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that we cannot understand or we cannot yield ourselves to you unless we have the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. And I just pray that each of us that have come to know you as Lord, as the Almighty One, as the Creator, as Lord of Lords, as the Great I Am, that we will humble ourselves and seek you now, that we may learn of you, and in learning of you and learning your great names, that we will manifest you before others and reach out to others that are sick, sin sick, spiritually, physically sick, or emotionally sick. Just help us and lead us. And we do give you the praise and honor and glory. And I ask it now in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, we want to begin and look at this name of God. We have learned of many names as we have studied. We have learned of Elohim, the Creator, and El Elyon, God Most High, and El Roy, the God who sees, El Shaddai, the All-Sufficient One, and Adonai, the Lord, and the Self-Existent One, Jehovah, and Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. So today, we're looking at Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. So, looking at Scripture, Jeremiah 8, verse 22 says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? But yes, we know that there is balm in Gilead. There is a physician, and his name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. But how many know his name, and what does it mean? What does he heal? Physical infirmities, illnesses of the mind and of the soul, spiritual wounds or physical wounds. These are some questions that we will seek to find the answers as we search the Scriptures. He was called Jehovah, for he was Jehovah who heard the cry of his people when they were in bondage in Egypt. So God brought them out, delivered them, and the people saw that he was Jehovah Jireh. So when we look at the picture of the people that were held in Egypt, and when you look at that spiritually, Egypt was a picture of the world. The people were in bondage of sin because they were living in the world and not following the Lord Jesus. So let's begin and read some scripture. I want to start with Exodus 15, verses 22 through 27. Exodus 15, 22, 27. Now, there's a lot of scriptures that refer to what we're studying today, but we won't be able to read all of them, but we're going to read some so that we can see through God's word that He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the healer. But let me start now. Verse 22 of Exodus. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And then he cried out to the Lord, to Jehovah, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And there he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. And he said, "If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His commandments, and keep all of His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer." And then they came to Elam, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Let's look at that scripture and let's ask some questions because we find the answers in this scripture. What was Moses' cure for the bitter waters? We saw that God showed him a tree, and that tree, as he placed it in the water, took the bitterness out. So, was it the tree, or was it obedience to God? I think that it would have been the obedience to God. Now, how did the people happen to end up at Marah? What was it an accident that they were there? Let's read Exodus chapter 13, 21 through 22. Exodus 13, 21 through 32. And let me find that. Verses 21 and 22. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people." So we know that the Lord led them there. He led them by this pillar of cloud in the day, and at night He led them by the pillar of fire. So, do you think that the bitter waters was an accident or a result of poor leadership, a surprise? Why do you think this? Why did it happen? What did the people do after they were brought out of bondage of the Egyptians? When they began to travel, when they begin to go out, the scripture says that the people grumbled. So, grumbling and complaining doesn't make things better, does it? So God had to test them. And we see all through the scriptures many ways that people are put to test because of disobedience and grumbling. So besides bitter waters being made sweet by a tree, what else happened? We see that God told them if they would listen to him and keep his commandments, he would make a statute and regulation with them, and they wouldn't have none of the disease that he had put on the Egyptians. So, what would keep them healthy? It wasn't a tree, but it was by being obedient to God and by keeping his commandments. And that applies to us today. So who put the disease on them, and why do you think that he did this? We know that God is the one that put the disease on them, because Pharaoh, the people of Egypt, they're the ones that received the disease, and it was because Pharaoh wouldn't listen to God. So who was going to do the healing? Let's look at Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 39. And I'll read that right quick. 32:39 of Deuteronomy. Now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and make alive, I wound and heal, nor is there any who can deliver from my hand. So we see in this scripture that God is the only God, the only Lord, and there's no other, and he is sovereign over all. Now let's look also at Isaiah 45, 6 and 7. That they may know from the rising of the sun to the setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all of these things. So we see throughout the scriptures that God is Lord. He is God. He is the only one. He is sovereign. He is in control. So let's look then at what kind of disease does Jehovah Rapha heal. We're going to read some scriptures, and I think we'll answer that question after we read these scriptures. And like I said, there are many scriptures, but we're not going to read all of them. So we're going to read and understand now how that Jehovah Rapha heals and what kind of disease and why he heals these disease. Looking at the word Rapha, that word in Hebrew means to heal. And of course, in the New Testament, we know that it's in Greek, and it may be written different in Greek than in Hebrew. But in John 5, verse 19, it tells us that Jesus is God, one with the Father. Let me read John 5:19. Whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. Now, looking at some scripture, we're going to see the different disease that God heals, being Jehovah Rapha. I want to read first 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 and verse 4 and 5. 2 Kings 20, verse 1, verse 4 and 5. In those days Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet of the son of Amos came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." The word of the Lord came to him, Isaiah, saying, "Return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you, and on the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord." So here, what kind of healing do we see? The scripture says that he was sick to death. And so, whenever the prophet came, and he had prayed to God, and God had told him that he was going to heal Hezekiah. So, we see that the healing that God does is a healing from death. So that is one of the things that we can put on our list of the kind of disease that God heals is the healing of death itself. Now then, let's look at 2 Chronicles 7, chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." So here in these verses, we see that it's talking about healing the land. God also heals the land. Now, let's go further into Isaiah 19, verse 22, and chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah 19, 22, and Isaiah 53, 5. "And the Lord will strike Egypt, striking but healing, so they will return to the Lord, and he will respond to them and will heal them. But he was pierced through," this is 53, 5, "he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." So we are healed, first of all, in Isaiah, he says that he will strike Egypt, striking but healing. So then as you go on and see whenever Christ died on the cross, this first striking but healing, meaning that when you strike, it causes wounds. And here we see in the 53rd chapter, in the 5th one, that we are healed by Christ's wounds. So he heals our wounds. Now, let's go further to Psalms 147, verse 3. "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." So here we see that God heals broken hearts, hearts that have been broken from trials and troubles and many things, he heals also our hearts. And then let's look at Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3. Psalm 103, verse 1 through 3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who hardens all our iniquities, who heals all your disease. So here we see that Jehovah Rapha heals our disease. Now, let's look at some more scripture, and then we'll go forward from there. The scripture, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. So in this scripture, we see that he heals the blind. He gives sight to the blind. And then one more, 1 Peter 2:24-25. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we may die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you are healed. For you are continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So here again, we see that he heals our wounds, and also he heals us from sin. He heals our sin, and that was through his body. Now, looking at that, we need to ask some questions about our own selves. Are we wounded? Do we need a physician? Is there balm in Gilead? So, if so, have you asked him, Jehovah Rapha, to heal you? Let me read Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for thou art my praise. So just a simple prayer to call out to the name of the Lord, Jehovah Rapha. He is the balm of Gilead. He is the one that can heal us from all kinds of sins and all kinds of sicknesses, as we read in these scriptures. Now, I want to go on because we have some more scriptures and some more that we need to learn about Jehovah Rapha. In Exodus 15:26, we see that health, healing, and obedience all go together. Let's read and see what Exodus 15:26 says. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord our God, Jehovah Rapha, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the disease on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for the Lord, for I, the Lord, am your healer. I am your Jehovah Rapha. So, whether we like it or not, here we see a direct correlation between sin and sickness. Not just physical sickness, but also spirit and soul. So according to what I just read in Exodus 15:26, and the scriptures that we studied prior, we see that God is as active in wounding as he is in healing. Now, let's look for a moment and ask this question, because this is a very question that we ask in our minds. Is all sickness due to sin? And we want to look at that in two ways, so we need to listen carefully. First, if a man had not sinned, there would be no sickness. We go back to that Garden of Eden. Where did sin begin? It began through Adam and Eve in the garden. So that, in a sense, then all sickness is due to sin. Going back to that first sin, it brought sickness upon the world. But I don't believe that all physical and emotional illness is a consequence of personal sin. I believe that some illnesses have other causes. So let's share some scriptures to see. And then when we finish, we can discuss the way to deal with sickness of the body, soul, and spirit. So, as we read these scriptures, think about, as we learn about sickness in regard to sin. So let's start with 1 Chronicles 21:10-14. 1 Chronicles 21:10-14. Now, notice that David had sinned and numbered the children of Israel, as we see in 1 Chronicles 21:8-17. And I'll read these. Go and speak to David. Thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose for yourself one of them that I may do to you. This was because of David's sin. There was consequences, but God gave him a choice. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, take for yourselves either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be swept away before your foes while the sword of your enemies overtakes you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, even pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now, therefore, consider what answer I shall return to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. So we see that the sin of David brought a judgment upon the people of the land of Israel. So this was man's sin that brought hand of God, the judgment of God upon the people. Now then, let's look at Numbers 12:9-13. Numbers 12, 9 through 13. So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. As Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous. And then Aaron said to Moses, O my Lord, I beg you, do not account this sin to us, in which we have acted foolishly, and in which we have sinned. Oh, do not let her be like one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes from his mother's womb. And Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, O God, heal her, I pray. So, here again, we see that the sickness that was to be brought upon Miriam was because of the disobedience of Moses and Aaron. They had argued among themselves, and they had become disobedient to the Lord. And the Lord was going to bring this sickness upon Miriam, their sister, because of their disobedience, because of their sin. So sometimes sickness can be brought upon someone because of another sin. So we should be careful of how we live and how we obey God, that a sickness might not fall. You know, the disobedience, one thing that we can look at is when a person becomes a drinker of alcohol, he becomes a drunkard. See, his sin may not fall on him, but it may fall on his household. Because of his sin, he's not able to provide for his family, for his wife and children, and they can become hungry. And it's not because of their sin, but it would be the cause of someone else's sin. Now then, let's look at Psalm 38, 1 through 3. Psalm 38, 1 through 3. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, and chasten me not in thy burning anger. For thine arrows have sunk deep in me, and thy hand has pressed down on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine indignation. There is no health in my bones because of my sin. So here we see that sin can bring bad health and suffering. And this is a plea to God from the psalmist here, which is probably David. He wrote most of the psalms that are written. And he was pleading with God to rebuke him not to bring judgment or his wrath upon him because he said that he had sinned, and he was pleading for God to not bring suffering upon him. Now, I'm going to read one more, and this is going to the New Testament, and this is in John 9, 1 through 3. John 9, 1 through 3. And as he passed by, he, Jesus, saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus answered, It is neither that this man has sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. So this is another thing that we see. It wasn't the sin of the man that was blind. It wasn't the sin of his parents, but it was for another reason that he was blind. And Jesus said here that it was in order that the works of God might be displayed. It was saying that because he is blind, that I, Jesus, and the Father are going to heal him, that you may see the power and the Almighty God that I am, I and the Father. It's to magnify him. So this is another reason sometimes that sin comes upon mankind, not because of something they did, but it was for the reason to glorify God. I'll read one more scripture and then we'll go forward. Reading in Philippians 2:25-30. Philippians 2:25-30. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, in order that when you see him you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Therefore receive him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him on high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service for me. So here we see that God used this man, Epaphroditus, and brought sickness upon him, not because of his sin, but it was for the sickness to point the people that he was writing to here, Paul in the Philippians, that they might see God's mercy and healing from sin that was even unto death. And again, it was to magnify the Lord. Now, let's go and look further, and we want to see in all of this how that God uses people to glorify himself. So, looking at all of this and looking at the scriptures, where do we see that people run when they need healing? Most of the time we see that people run to other people. So, do you think that this is the attitude or the way that we should solve our problems, both physically and spiritually? You know, he is the healer, Jesus himself. And sometimes people run to other people. They run to counselors. And we find that a counselor doesn't always be a counselor that is a Christian, and they do not take that person to the healer, to God's word, to apply to their wounds. So, if you have a counselor, a man or a woman that is counseling and is not taking that person to Jehovah Rapha for healing, then that is not going to the right source, is it? So, whether the illness is physical, emotional, or spiritual, a person should always seek healing from Jehovah Rapha. In 2 Chronicles 16:12, it says, "And in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet, and his disease was severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians." So, whenever we have any kind of sickness, whether it's a spiritual or physical or emotional sickness, then even if it's an illness of a nation or a single human being, we have seen in the scriptures that we need healing. It's not always as a result of sin or of people or a leader or an individual. And we know that whatever the result of the sin is, that God, who heals the land, the pestilence, the wars, the bodies, the emotions, the soul, or the spirits, he is the instrument of healing. And yet, as we look for this healing, if we're not going to him, Jehovah Rapha, then the instrument is powerless without him. So therefore, at the risk of seeming redundant, then whenever you need healing, first consult Jehovah Rapha, and then second, explore whether sin is the cause of the problem. David wrote in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, Psalm 139, 23, 24, "I am full of anxiety because of my sin," and that was in Psalm 38, 18. And yet, sin was the cause of the problem. And then as we go on down into Psalm 139, 23, 24, whenever David repented, he spoke to the Lord and he said, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful, wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." And we see in Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians 4:4, Paul said, "I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord." Remember, Paul, the scripture told us, had a thorn in the flesh. And we don't know exactly what that thorn was, but it was some kind of ailment or sickness that caused much pain. And Paul called on the Lord, and he asked him three times to remove it. But what did God say to him? He said, "My grace is sufficient." In other words, whatever we go through, sometimes it's hard to understand that God doesn't bring healing and take away the pain. And God has a reason and a purpose for all things. It may be a trial, it may be a testing, it may be to bring us closer to him. But God has a purpose of all things. And we know that, like Paul, that his grace is sufficient. So, we ask our question now. Do we fear God, Jehovah Rapha? Do we reverence God? Do we look at Him as Jehovah Rapha and know that regardless of what we may be facing, what may be going through, that He is almighty and He can do all things and no one can go against Him because He is sovereign. Now, our memory verse at the end of this is from Jeremiah 17:14. Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for Thou art my praise. So, what is the meaning then of Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals? And what does He heal? He heals all things, physical sickness, spiritual sickness, and emotional sickness. And sometimes it's because of our sin, and sometimes it's for His glory. So where do we go for healing? We go to Jehovah Rapha, God Almighty. Let us close this study in prayer. Father, I pray that You will open our minds, our hearts, our very being. Give us understanding of what a great and mighty God that You are. That You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the one and the only one that can bring healing of all kinds, physically, spiritually, and mentally, if we just run to You, Father. You are the high tower, our protection. Let us run to You and not run to man. We lean on each other because You teach us that we're to care for one another and love one another. But Father, we know that You're the one that we have to lean on and put our trust in to bring healing regardless of what we may face. And You don't make mistakes. You never turn us away. Our family, our friends, or someone here may turn us away, but we know that You will never, ever turn us away. So teach us Your ways and search us, O Lord. See if there's any unclean thing in us that would hinder us from fearing You, from reverencing You, Father, from looking to You as our Jehovah Rapha. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.